What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this coop. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Back to the Rodcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. As a matter of fact, the Specs text line is lit up. Spurs fans are upset and angry. Spurs fans would like me to know, multiple Spurs fans, that Steve Kerr, who is from the Greg Popovich coaching tree, he learned that trick of allowing players to run the huddle from Greg Popovich. So, Spurs fans, I appreciate the insight. I mean, everybody knew that Steve Kerr is from the Popovich coaching tree. So, we assume that he gets a lot of his tricks of the trade from Greg Popovich, or most of them from Greg Popovich. But Spurs fans are throwing it out there. That could very well be the case. You know what I mean? And I would not be shocked by that at all. I mean, Greg Popovich is a GOAT. He is on that Mount Rushmore for greatest coaches in NBA history. So, a lot of people are throwing it out there. A lot of people are talking about this Steve Kerr situation with him allowing players to run the huddle when they blew out the Phoenix Suns last night. I just thought it was really cool. I think it's something that most coaches are too arrogant to allow to happen, that, yeah, sometimes your voice gets a little annoying. You keep saying the same thing. People want to hear something different. Parents tell me that all the time. Parents always tell me when I'm talking to their kids, oh, you tell my kid that. He'll listen. He doesn't want to listen to me right now. All right, he wants a different voice to say the same thing. And I don't have kids, but I can understand that. Same thing happens in locker rooms. You need a different voice. That's the point of assistant coaches. You need a different voice. Sometimes messages get stale. You know, I think that happens with just coaching, whether it be Mac Brown or Bob. So I think messages get stale at times, even if they're effective. So I applaud what is being done. And there are a lot of these different videos being shown of Phil Jackson allowing, you know, Michael Jordan and different guys to let players run the huddle at times. So it ain't new. It's like a lot of tricks. They're just old tricks being reinvented and recycled. But we haven't seen it in a while. We just haven't seen it in a really long time. I mean, it's not something you see that is considered commonplace or normalcy in the NBA. But I'm sure there are coaches who have done it in the past, too. But it's a big topic of discussion. Speaking of Popovich, we got some sound from Popovich that I want to play. He's talking about Black History Month, which nobody cares about. So I'm glad Greg Popovich cares about it. I talked about it on the first day of Black History Month, and I told y'all, I said, listen, we're going to talk about Black History Month, but I guarantee you. And I was like, basically, my take that people don't like, I said Black History Month should be reduced to a national holiday, just one day. It shouldn't be a month. Because nobody recognizes it the entire month. As a matter of fact, nobody recognizes it, period. They don't even talk about it. You can turn on BET. They ain't talking about Black History Month. It's some reality TV show on or something. Ain't nobody talking about it. Go to History Channel. Or do they have a Black History Channel special? Nope, they didn't got that either. All right? Just make it a national holiday, and everybody will celebrate it. It'll be great. But the month, people don't respect it. But Popovich does. He brought it up. Whether he was asked about it, whether he talked about it. So Popovich actually is down for the importance of Black History Month. I think you want to make it really important. You make it a national holiday where people get the day off. And they'll start celebrating. But oh, why am I off today? Why don't I have to work? Oh, Black History Month. Oh, Black History Day. Really? Black History Day. Maybe you'll read into Black. Maybe you'll Google Black History. Maybe. But the whole month, nobody does anything. They don't even recognize it. This is the second time we've talked about it on the show. I'm Black. You know what I mean? And I have failed to bring it up enough. It's just people don't talk about it enough. Because it's an entire month, we lose focus in this world. We ain't going to focus on anything for an entire month. Anyway, it is the most popular, like, heritage month, though. Because there's, like, an Asian American, like, heritage month. There's a Hispanic American, like, month. I don't know what months they actually are. But I guess Black History Month gets the most love, but you gotta make them national holidays, man. People need the day off. They are respected more then. All right, we'll go behind the burnt orange curtain after the rundown. I'll tell you who I think is gonna be my Blackstradamus prediction about who's gonna be the breakout star for the Texas defense this upcoming season. Also, we'll discuss the recruit that Texas needs to get this cycle, who may be the most important, almost pivotal acquisition that they can make during this recruiting cycle. And I know their recruiting is done, and we've had National Signing Day. But we'll get into that, too. And there are a lot of other programs around the country that are also trying to close in on this graduate transfer. So we'll get into that, too. Also, we go behind the burner's curtain. We haven't talked about the possibility of Tom Herman calling plays, even though he did not rule it out. That's one of the really undersold storylines from the 2018 National Recruiting Day press conference that he had. He was asked about the offense and said he hasn't ruled out calling the plays himself. He will not do that this spring, but we'll talk about that a little bit too when we go behind the burnt orange curtain right after the rundown here. We'll talk about the balls, all right, because LeVar Ball has made his most, I would say, his most authoritative revelation yet, where he is proclaiming that when Lonzo Ball becomes a free agent, which I think is like 2021, something like that, when Lonzo Ball becomes a free agent, can hit the free agent market without the Lakers picking up his option, that he is going to sign with the team, whatever NBA team, that is willing to sign all the Ball brothers. You ain't going to get Lonzo Ball without getting LiAngelo and LaMelo. You're going to have all the balls together. And LeVar. You want all the balls. So it's you can't have just one ball. No, if you want the one ball, you want the biggest ball, you got to get all the balls. All right? You got to embrace all the balls. All right? So we'll talk about that because that is one. I didn't think he'd go this far. Now, you guys know I'm a LeVar Ball fan. I know y'all are not. I didn't think he'd go this far. Basically, he's trying to make personnel decisions now for NBA teams. Ooh, that's tricky. I don't, you know, and I love his marketing genius. He's a marketing genius. Hell, his son plays for the Lakers, and he predicted that his son would play for the Lakers. You got to admit, the man's doing something right. He's coming out with water now. He's got his own, you know, clothing brand. It ain't all bad. But now, he may be crossing line, or maybe he's genius. It's like Steve Kerr. Is it arrogance or is it genius? We really haven't figured out and deciphered which one it is yet. So we'll talk about that, too, coming up here in the first segment. All right, let's not waste any time. Let's quickly go to the rundown with all the headlines of the day. It's
time! These are the top headlines of the day. It's time for the rundown.
All right, the rundown is always brought to you by our good friends at Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. TopGun.net with two N's is where you find out more about Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. First headline of the day, the Longhorn men's basketball team loses 74-73 in double overtime, their third loss in a row. And now they are struggling, and it's going to be tough for them to make any type of postseason bid unless they go on a run. They got five games left. They got to play Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, K-State, Kansas, and West Virginia. I believe three of those five teams are still ranked right now currently. Mo Bamba showed up big, had his 13 double-double, 16 points, 16 rebounds, four blocks. Not enough to help the Longhorns overcome the deficit and beat the Baylor Bears. Also, Osetkowski, Curran Roach also threw in 15 points each in that losing effort. Texas started the game in abysmal fashion. 2 of 14 from the field is how they started that game, and they were fighting back the entire game. Not enough. They still lose in double overtime, 74-73 to the Baylor Bears.
Yeah, you know, I was watching it live, and the guys in ESPN were talking about how they have this tracker, which was basically saying whoever lost that game, their chances for making the tournament goes down 30%.
Yeah, I saw that stat. You're right. Yeah. And I don't know what the Longhorns were before that.
Yeah.
But 30%
is a huge number,
30%
man.
30% is huge. I don't give a damn where you were.
That takes you from an A to a C.
Yeah.
If you're going from 100,
you know? I agree with you. Yeah.
So that's a little scary. Yeah, it's a tough road for the Longhorns ahead. Going on to the Winter Olympics, looks like Germany still leads in gold medals. Norway still leads in total medals with 11. Germany's got 5 gold medals. USA is still in 5th place with 6 total medals, 3 golds, 1 silver, and 2 bronze. 17-year-old Chloe Kim killed it in the women's snowboard halfpipe. Supposedly she won the gold medal before she even finished her last couple of runs, which was great for her.
Yeah, she's become a star because on social media, basically, either during the event when she won the gold or right before it, she basically tweeted out how she was hangry and she was hungry.
Yeah.
And Americans who love food, they love the fact that, yeah, she went through and her hanger, if you will, that's what inspired her to win a gold medal. She was so damn hangry. She went out there and was able to dominate and win gold. And she's 17 years old.
17,
she's supposed to be sick in high. She's a high schooler.
Yeah.
And she's that damn good. They said in her final run, she executed back-to-back 1080s, a feat no other woman had landed in competition. She said that the two 1080s are the hardest parts of her run. And basically, I mean, the Chloe Kim has become a star overnight. She went from 13,000 Twitter followers to now 150,000.
Wow.
Yeah, like she's been an overnight sensation for them, the 17-year-old. Her tweet was, "Wish I finished my breakfast sandwich, but my stubborn self decided not to, and now I'm getting hangry." Literally in the middle of her competition, she tweets out she was getting hangry. America loved it, and she backed it up. She led the pack. She had a 93.75 points from her first run. And she just got bigger and better. She was awarded 98.25 points out of 100, more than 8 points higher than the silver medalist. So she dominated the thing.
Right. Yeah. And after she got the gold, somebody brought her a churro ice cream sandwich.
Tell you, dude, she is legit. Like, I'm a fan. Chloe Kim is she's badass. Also, Red Garrard, the young man who also won gold, and he's 17 as well. So two of the, I think, six youngest Olympians in American history to win gold happened in these Winter Olympics, both of them 17 years old, Red Garrard and Chloe Kim. Nice. It's pretty good. No, I mean, if you start following it, you get really into it. And I know some of y'all that's like, I'm not going to get into it. You really should. All right, let your patriotism just take you away. That's what it does for me. All right, LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be out until after the All-Star break. The Spurs have been snake-bitten by injuries all season long. He's going to be out because they say it's routine treatment for a sore right knee. I think it's all, you know, just the Spurs being cautious and trying to make sure that they got him healthy for the long haul, just awaiting Kawhi Leonard when he comes back.
Yeah,
whatever
definitely.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. They need to make sure their whole team is healthy and ready to go for playoffs. Houston Rockets, they plan on, they're going to release Troy Williams in order to make room for Joe Johnson. Looks like Troy Williams was one of those guys. He was known for scoring. He was averaging 9.7 points a game, but he was in and out from the G League into the regular league. So he was one of those guys who just kind of bounced around, never really knew what they were going to do with him. So it looks like they're going to release him, and he should show some immediate interest while he's a free agent.
All right, Harris County, the major county in Houston, they have voted to move forward with a plan to renovate the Astrodome into a revenue-generating facility. They're going to raise the floor and raise the ground level two floors, to fit like 1,400 parking spaces. And then they're going to turn the former Eighth Wonder of the World into a venue for like festivals and concerts and conferences. I'm a Houstonian. I got a kind of a heartfelt connection to this. So I got to rant about this a little bit later on the show that we'll get to.
All right. So in basketball going on tonight, last night, San Antonio lost. They actually lost 4 out of the last 5. They got a loss to Utah, 101-99. Utah's actually hot right now, though.
They are like hot.
A 10-game win streak or something
They're feeling it.
So that was a tough loss for them, but no LaMarcus Aldridge. A lot of other players hurt. Noah Kawhi, obviously. So, they got the loss last night. Tonight, all Texas teams are going to be in action. Houston will be in Minnesota. Sacramento will be in Dallas. And San Antonio will be in Denver.
All right, that's the rundown. Brought to you by good friends at Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. That's with two N's. Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals is where you find TopGun.net is where you find out more about Top Gun Lawn and Equipment Rentals. Okay, let's not waste any time. I want to go behind the burner's curtain. Football topics this time. We talked basketball in the first hour. A couple of football news notes and nuggets I want to get to. Let's do it right now.
And they were all asking themselves the same question. What is behind that curtain?
All right. While we have some time here, there are a couple of things I want to hit. And the first, when we go behind the burner's curtain, is about the next season. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine about the Texas defense next season. And he was like, man, who do you think is going to be like a breakout star for them? Had a lot of breakout stars this year on defense. They're like, I mean, there were, I would say, six or seven guys that had career seasons on the Charter Orlando. Malik Jefferson, Puna Ford, Houghton Hill, you know, Jason Hall, Chris Boyd, Antoine Davis, Sean Elliott, Charles Omenihu, Anthony Willard, ton of guys had their best seasons ever under that, you know, Todd Orlando scheme or within that Todd Orlando scheme. So they were asking me, like, you know, who do you think is going to be the breakout star on defense? I was like, yeah, that's a good question. Actually, I had to think about it. And usually I can give a quick answer with that. I think the breakout star, if I give my Black Shalom's prediction, I think it's going to be Chris Boyd. I think Chris Boyd's going to be breakout star on defense next year. And I'll give you some evidence to back this up. My friends at Horns 24/7, they have their Pro Football Focus ratings. And they have a deal with Pro Football Focus, which I love, about in-depth ratings. And they give every player a rating. Watch all the film, and every player gets a rating every game. And for Chris Boyd, his rating, for the games that he played, his lowest rating came against Oklahoma, I believe. He got a 30 rating against Oklahoma, his Pro Football Focus grade, which was the worst or lowest rated defensive player on the Texas roster. He was targeted seven times, gave up a touchdown, had like three missed tackles. He was really, really bad. So after this game, he makes a dramatic improvement. But before that game, he had struggled the entire season. Against K-State, he had a 39 rating. Against USC, he had a 50. San Jose State, he had a 49. Maryland, a 43. So he had struggled. He had a good game against Iowa State, but for the most part, he had been really inconsistent, and he had struggled. And that 29-24 loss to Oklahoma, he had his worst game. I think the rating kind of worked like actual grades. A 70 is around average. I think after that, you're dropping off to really, really below average. Well, the second half of the season, he rebounds. And in that 13-10 overtime loss to Oklahoma State, his Pro Football Focus grade was the highest of any Texas defender. He got an 88 rating, an 88 grade. It was the highest graded cornerback in the country that week. He had been targeted eight times, allowed zero touchdowns, three PBUs, three forced incompletions, and four tackles. He was the best that we have seen him all year long, and he turned the table like that. And I started looking at some of the other stats. If you start looking at his grade in the Texas Tech game, he had a 98.6 grade versus Tech. He was targeted 11 times, had an interception, three PBUs, three forced incompletions, zero missed tackles, and four stops. Last game of the season, he had his highest grade of the season. So after that Oklahoma game, something happened. And I'll tell you what, my man Jeff Howe told me this, and I heard it from some other folks too, that in practice after the Oklahoma game where he had his worst game of the season, Todd Orlando said, all right, we know you got the raw ability. We know you can go out there and you got a Sunday skill set. But something's wrong with your eyes and your fundamentals, your technique. So apparently they put like a GoPro on his helmet. They put like a camera on his helmet because they wanted to see what he was looking at because his eyes were so bad. You got bad eyes, you got bad feet. Coach Aquino told me that as a defensive back. All right, because your feet aren't going to go where your eyes go. So his eyes were bad. So they started, you know, putting a camera on his helmet during practice, and they started figuring out what he was looking at. And once they figured out where he was looking at and they corrected those issues, man, he went on a streak as one of the best defenders in the country. And I'm telling you, now that you have, you know, kind of all the technique issues or faults rectified, I think Chris Boyd's on pace to be one of the better defenders. And that shutdown corner at Houghton Hill was for Texas early on in the season. And that also points at what Todd Orlando does best in terms of developing talent. You know what I mean? He's got a really good record for developing DBs. He's had 12 defensive backs drafted. We're not including the two, Deshaun Elliott and Houghton Hill, who will probably be drafted in this year's draft. That's more than any other position. He has eight linebackers that has been drafted that he either recruited or that he had some hand in developing that play within his system. And he only had four defensive linemen that have been drafted. So he has a really good track record for developing defensive back talent. And I think that with the trajectory of Chris Boyd, I think it's going to end up being the perfect storm for Chris Boyd to have a breakout year. That's my breakout defender for 2018 for Texas defense. All right, one of the Texas topics I want to get to, Calvin Anderson. Calvin Anderson is a graduate transfer from Rice who actually went to Westlake and grew up in Austin. And he is an offensive tackle, and You know, he may be one of the most coveted players in the country. Auburn is recruiting him as a graduate transfer. So is now Texas A&M. They've jumped on that list. TCU, Michigan, and, of course, Texas. The two front runners are Michigan and Texas. And he basically just wants to go to the NFL. He wants to go to the program that's going to give him the best chance to play in the league. That's all. That's it. I mean, that's from everything I've heard, that's all he wants. If you give him the best chance to showcase his talent to get drafted the highest he can be, possibly, or whatever that is, that's where he wants to go. That's why A&M has now jumped on, you know, his list, because A&M produces offensive linemen, or NFL offensive linemen, at a really, really good rate. They have a high success rate. And he's considering Michigan because of the same thing. And Texas, really, Texas is in the door because he's from Austin and he went to Westlake, and maybe he'd go to Texas. The thing is with Calvin Anderson is he's a walk-in starter probably for like three or four of these programs listed. That's what they're set. That's the pitch from Michigan, the pitch from Auburn, the pitch from Texas, the pitch from A&M is walk-in starter. And I don't think any program needs him more than Texas. Like, Texas needs him because the offensive line, they're going to lose, of course, Connor Williams, so he's gone. But then you're going to lose a lot of graduate transfers on the line, Jake McMillan, Terrell Cuney, Alex Anderson. So all those guys you're bringing in 2018, you would ideally like to redshirt them. Part of that developmental process, bringing in Herb Hand to develop that talent, will be to have an anchor on that O-line. And, yes, you brought in Grandy, who is also a play-right-away guy coming from a JUCO, and you're bringing in possibly Calvin Anderson. Both of those guys will be play-right-away guys, and Texas needs that type of presence on the O-line. The Texas running game, and they probably need a presence more on the offensive line for the running game, even more so than pass protection. And they were really bad in pass protection. The Texas defense in offense in pass protection, they allowed the 110th most tackles for loss and the 103rd most sacks in the country. So they were really, really bad there. But in rushing offense, Texas was worse. Sam Ellinger leading the team in rushing, I think it's 381 yards or something like that, was the lowest total for a leading rusher for Texas football since, like, before, like, the Nixon administration. Before, like, JFK. I'm talking about, you got to go back before the sexual revolution to to find a leading rusher for Texas that had a lower output than Sam Ellinger. So the running game was really bad. I think it's like 1960 was what my man Jeff Howe told me. So they got to find a more dynamic runner, but part of that is the offensive line and the running game. That's why Calvin Anderson, that recruitment is so important for Texas. They're losing a ton on the offensive line, and he is a walk-in starter for them. And everybody assumes, because the two of the front runners, and he's from Austin, he's from Texas, that Texas is going to win it. No guarantees. So, and I'm sure that Tom Herman and his staff understand they got to close hard on Calvin Anderson. Now, speaking of Tom Herman, he said when asked a question during the press conference about the 2018 recruiting class that he was not ruling out calling plays for Texas this season, like calling offensive plays. Let me just assure Longhorn fans, that ain't going to happen. He's not going to call plays. That's just not what he wants to do. Remember, Tom Herman even admitted during the season he's not even comfortable on the field calling plays, as a head coach calling plays. Remember, he said, and Burnt Orange Nation actually had a really good write-up about this. He said, I was always best calling plays from the box. And there were times in my career when a head coach would ask me to be on the field, whether it be a quarterback needs me down there or the offense needs me, and I was a fish out of water. He also went on to say he studied coaches that call their own plays, like Scott Frost and like, you know, Lincoln Riley and those types of guys that call their own plays, and to try to see how they do it. Gus Malzahn, these types of coaches. He's really admitted already he's not comfortable being the head coach and calling plays. Now, he's not going to rule it out, because by any means necessary, he's going to fix the offense. But I think that's why bringing Herb Hand in, a guy who had play calling experience, was so important, because the plan B behind Tim Beck failing, who's going to call the plays during spring, is going to be Herb Hand. And then, worst case scenario, is going to be Tom Herman. He would ideally not like to ever be put in that position. He'd like for one of his plans to work. Plan A, which is Tim Beck, or contingency plan, which is Herb Hand. He does not want to call plays and also be a head coach. He said, quote, I mean, I envy those guys that are head coaches and call plays. I don't know how they do it. They've got a different skill set than me, maybe. And my friend Zach, Burnt Orange Nation, really good write-up about it. But he's telling you, I don't like doing that. I don't want to do it. That's not where I'm at my best. I'm either overseeing the entire, you know, program and organization, or I am totally crystallized focused on calling plays. And I'm in the booth when I do it. I'm not on the field where a head coach has to be. He ain't going to do it. So give it up. He do not want to call those plays. He does not. If he's calling plays, Texas football has hit a unprecedented like low. Because that for him, that would mean, damn, none of my ideas worked. And it doesn't mean that him taking over the play calling won't be a successful venture. It just means that all of his ideas to fix the offense didn't work. When Tom Herman's calling the plays, the fit has hit the shan. Okay? Just so you know, when he's doing it, holy Chicago, we are in trouble. I don't want him calling plays because that means we're in trouble because he doesn't want to do it. He's not comfortable doing it. Don't put him out there if you don't want to do it. All right. That's why he's spending money to hire coaches to do it. I like the marriage with Herb Hand and Tim Beck. Hopefully that works out because now I think it'll be a much more I think it'll be a process now that involves a lot of different moving parts. I think it'll be Tom Herman, who has more fingerprints on the offense. I think Herb Hand. I think Tim Beck. Drew Maringer is going to be thrown in there. I think you'll get a lot of different opinions to formulate a game plan and a path going forward, which also I agree with. That's what the Philadelphia Eagles did, by the way. Doug Peterson says Frank Rye and Al Groh's son, I believe, and John DeFilippo, he said it was a joint effort. They all basically came up with every game plan for the season, which is not something that's I'm sure other teams do it, but not to the extent that Philadelphia did it. Okay, we gotta come back. We come back. We'll jump into this Ball story about the Ball brothers. Also, I want to get into some NFL topics as well. All that and more when we return. It's the Rodcast right here on the Horn 104.9 AM 1260.
Got the club going up.
All right, going up on a Tuesday, it's the Rodcast. I got a lot I want to cram into the next couple of segments, so bear with me. We're going to be all over the place because we got to go quickly. We don't have that much time. Okay, so LeVar Ball is at it again. So LeVar Ball, essentially, he told, I want to make sure I get this reporter's name right, a journalist from Lithuania, Donatas Urbonas, all right? He told this reporter, quote, I want all three of my boys to play for the Lakers. I'm going to try to sound like LeVar Ball. Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, I can do this. I want all of my boys to play for the Lakers. But if that don't happen, I'm telling you, this story is what's going to happen first. If you don't take Jello this year, I bring back Jello here to Lithuania to play with Melo for two more years. Lonzo will be on his third year, and I want to let every NBA team know right now that Lonzo is not going to resign with the Lakers, but he's going to go to whoever don't sign all three of my boys. That's the plan. Lonzo plays best with his brothers anyway. Why wouldn't he? He is the hell of a shooter. They don't even play the same position. You see how successful he was when he was with his brother? Why wouldn't you be smart and say, so you want to play with your brother? Come on. Let's complete the royal flush. We don't have to go to the draft. Just sign him in free agency. You don't even have to give Jello $15 million. Give my million for 3 years. We'll take it because they want to make sure they make money off the court too. Loose spare change. So now you win championship after championship on the fact that my boys will never leave. That's what I mean. Championship. Keep the team together for a long time, but you can't because more money is offered. That's why guys are jumping between teams. But what's better than three Ball boys together? The big three. The original big three. All right, that's my Lamar. Did I do
that? That was great, man.
Did you like that? Okay. I heard him talk enough, and I know they do a certain SNL impression, too. That's my LeVar Ball. Okay, your thoughts on this, because you're a Lakers fan, so you know all about LeVar Ball. He actually is, and I think Lonzo is up, what, 2021, somewhere around there?
22
season. 22, yeah. Something like that. That's when he's a free agent. So he's saying, sign all the balls, or you won't get none of these balls.
God. God, I hate that he said that, man. I hated that he said that just because, you know, he's basically making Lonzo's decisions for him. Lonzo's a grown man now. Like, I can understand, you know, even LiAngelo to a certain extent, just because, I mean, I understand he's an adult, but he's only 18 years old or 19 years old still. Like, Lonzo's already a professional in the NBA. You could totally mess up this guy's career.
That's true, man.
To make him play. I mean, and he's playing on the Lakers. He's playing on one of the best organizations in the NBA.
He's having a good season.
And he's having a really good season. Exactly. Yeah.
He's the real deal.
Exactly. Yeah. And his improvement in to his game could only be, you know, could only get better by the time his contract gets done.
Yeah.
So he could potentially ruin his career.
Can I just say this? I think that we all are overreacting to LaVar Ball saying it. This is the guy that said he was better than Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I mean, so a lot of things he says are just to get us at them. And keep this in mind. He's a great promoter, right? He's a marketing genius. You know what's coming up for the Ball family? Lonzo's debut album.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Boom.
Yep.
It's coming out like Thursday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
He just needs to make sure that people are thinking about the Balls, talking about the Balls. They got an album coming out. He's got a big baller
water.
Brand water.
Yeah.
So it's just all these different avenues of revenue for him. He just wants to make sure the Ball brand is still out there. So the crazier thing he says, the more chances it'll get some run and we'll be talking about it. So I right now, there's no need for us to take it seriously because it's, what, you know, 3-4 years away from now. But yeah, I could see him pulling a stunt like this, but no need to worry about it now.
And it's 3 or 4 years from now. Hopefully by then Lonzo's grown enough man to just be like, dude, I'm making my own decision. Yeah.
But like I said, this goes with my theory. He's just trying to be the Kardashians of sports.
Yeah.
He wants to, doesn't he have a reality show already? They got a reality show, right? He wants now more storylines for the reality show. Get that blown up. It's shame to fame and fame to fortune is the American recipe. Hell, Donald Trump followed it. Kardashians followed it. That's what everybody does. By the way, LeVar and Lonzo are in a lip sync battle. I believe this week on Paramount TV, him and the Ball family. Yeah,
yeah.
You know that lip sync show?
Yeah.
They're going to be on it. That's what I'm saying. It's all about him just getting promotion. Man, he's a promoter. That's what he is. You don't take him that seriously. Okay, speaking of promotions, the former eighth wonder of the world, the Astrodome, used to be one of those spots where, if you're having a big event, you could have it in the Astrodome. I mean, it's historic for those types of events. I just watched the Battle of the Sexes, the crossover match, you know, Billie Jean King, and it was actually Bobby Riggs. It actually took place in the Astrodome. You know what I mean? There were Muhammad Ali fights that took place in the Astrodome. The University of Houston, UCLA, 1968. Game of Century in the Astrodome. So it is eighth wonder of the world. And right now, I think it actually costs taxpayers around $2 million just to sit there. Now they're going to move forward with a $105 million renovation to basically lift the two levels, the two bottom levels, and make parking spaces. And the rest of the facility we transform to like a concert hall. And they got festivals and all kind of things there. And I'll just say this, because, by the way, the Astrodome stinks. Everybody in Houston knows this. If you walk by the Astrodome, just walking, hanging out there, Reliant, there's a smell in the air. It's the Astrodome. It smells. It stinks. It does. Sorry, I love Houston, but it stinks. It's old and decrepit. And it's one of those things. I always say there are certain things in our society that are more of a burden than a benefit. Payphones. The penny. The penny costs more to make than it actually is worth. That doesn't even make sense, right? Why would you keep something around that costs more to make than it actually is worth? Nobody else would believe that, but that's the penny. Payphones, yellow pages are like that. Oh, by the way, Best Buy just announced they're not going to sell CDs anymore after July 1st. Their CDs is on that list, too. More of a burden to society than a benefit. And printed porn is also in the conversation. Unless you're homeless, why do you need printed porn? All right, no. It's something that we have moved past. We've evolved past it. And the Astrodome is now on that list with the penny, with CDs, the yellow pages, payphones, and printed porn. It's more of a burden than a benefit. Let it go. Let it go. What the hell are you trying to keep around the Astrodome for? I don't get it. I don't get this attraction to it. It's ridiculous. It's like vinyl records made a comeback. People wanted vinyl because they liked the way it sounds and has distinctive sound when you play it with certain songs. But listen, the Astrodome ain't making a comeback. It ain't vinyl. Like, it's done. It stinks. It's old. Let it go. Like the movie Frozen. Let it go. Let it go. Let it. I'm not going to sing it. But you get my point. I could sing it, but then y'all would not like that either. All right. Real quick, good news for Texans fans out there, too. I saw this on CBS Sports. They calculated the toughest and the easiest NFL schedules based on the upcoming opponents for 2018. The Green Bay Packers have the toughest schedule based on opposing winning percentage for the 2018 schedule. And the Texans have the easiest schedule. Their opponents were combined for 2018, 116 and 140, only won 45% of their games. That's a good thing if you're a Texans fan. You don't want a tough schedule. That may just mean more about the AFC South, where you also have a new head coach in Frank Wright for the Colts, new head coach in the Tennessee Titans for Mike Vrabel. It may say more about the division than it actually says about the Texans, but that's why Vegas only had the Patriots and the Steelers ahead of the Texans in Super Bowl odds. That was it. And I think a lot of that was because, you know, the Texans may not have that much competition in the AFC, period. Okay, real quick, we got time for this because you know what? We'll save the Cowboys for tomorrow. Sorry, Cowboys fans. We'll get you to tomorrow. I promise you that. All right. All right. This is Jordan Spieth. You got this sound, Ray? We'll go to a break after this. Okay. So apparently there's a position open for the Player Advisory Council in the PGA. And the chairman of the PAC, the Player Advisory Council, right now the candidates, Jordan Spieth right now is considered the front runner. Everybody thinks he's going to win the chair that seat. And he'd be one of the youngest, and everybody loves Jordan Spieth. So Billy Hurley, a golfer who won his first event in 2016, who's also running for the chairman of the PAC, made an attack ad, a political-like attack ad against Jordan Spieth. Oh, it is too good. Hit me, Ray.
This February, Jordan Spieth is running for chairman of the Player Advisory Council on the PGA Tour. Do we want to elect one of golf's elites? Jordan is a one percenter who can't relate to the common man. Do we want a demanding dictator who bosses any and everyone around, especially peasant caddy Michael Greller?
Yes.
Disgusting. What kind of leader would Jordan be? Listen to him in his own words.
I don't really listen to what other people say.
Pathetic. Just look at him taking valuables from one of our greatest allies, Great Britain. Thief. The PGA Tour doesn't need a golden child. We need a golden man. Meet Willie Hurley III. He served our country for 5 heroic years, striking fear on the entire globe. He once crossed enemy lines by himself, carrying only a 2-iron. He drove a destroyer through the Suez Canal. What kind of driving skills does Jordan have? Fail. Jordan won the 2017 Travelers Championship, earning an astounding $4,567 per shot. Disgusting. At the same tournament, Willie missed the cut, earning $0 per shot, just doing it for the love of the game. Willie Hurley, a man of the people who understands the needs of the common man.
Billy's great. It's great for America, great for us. He can do it. I know we can do it, right? Oh,
a true American hero, keeping America first and the PGA more first. A servant leader who even loves his servants.
Hey, bud, I'll take the bag for a bit today.
Billy is such a good boss. He's so funny, and I love working for him. Smile, smile.
Did we mention Billy Hurley served in the military? Honorable,
all right, that's
courageous.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great political attack ad. It really is good. And my new favorite golfer may be Billy Hurley. Just throwing it out there. And Jordan Spieth, by the way, loved it. He sent out a message via social media and talked about how creative it was and funny it was. All right, we'll come back with a little crosstalk. I got a question for Chad Hastings. He's a family man. I got a question for him, and we'll get into that. Also, a little crosstalk. All that and more right here on the Rodcast. It's the Horn 104.9 AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. I want to be quick here. Okay, so we got crosstalk coming up with Chad. I want to get his opinion about this one story. It comes from from Utah, from Salt Lake City, and it's about an elementary school dance. Ray, you got the sound? Hit me.
When Natalie Richards' sixth grade daughter told her she couldn't say no if a boy asked her to dance at Canesville Elementary's Valentine's Day dance, she didn't believe it at first.
The teacher said, oh, well, she can't. She has to say yes. She has to accept. And I said, excuse me?
So Natalie took her concerns to the school principal.
He basically just said, you know, that they've been doing this They've had this dance set up this way for a long time, and they've never had any concerns before.
Lane Finley with the Weber School District confirms it's a rule, but it's meant to teach students how to be inclusive.
Please be respectful, be polite. We want to promote kindness, and so we want you to say yes when somebody asks you to dance.
I do see it from their perspective when it comes to that, but there are many other ways to teach children how to be accepting.
That's enough. I think everybody's got the gist of it. There's a elementary school dance ad where women are, young ladies, I should say, are forced to say yes when a young man asks them to dance. Your thoughts? I knew you would love this story.
Really doesn't matter what I think on this story, but let me just tell you that my 11-year-old daughter would not like that policy at all. She gets to choose who she does and does not dance with.
Right? Does this happen? Like, is this some type of everybody gets a trophy thing?
Ironically, my daughter has a Valentine's dance, which they're calling a friendship dance.
Okay.
This Friday.
That's pissy.
There will be boys in attendance. There will be food. They did it last year when she was in fourth grade. They're doing it this year, and she's in fifth grade. But I have not heard any
rule she's got to say yes. She's got to say yes.
No, because they're still at the deal where they're all the way across the room from each other. Like, most of them are they're sticking in their own groups.
Which is how, as a young man, you learn about rejection and failure.
Correct.
You got to walk across that room, and you got to have enough testicular fortitude to ask that young lady out, and you learn game. You get better at talking to young ladies and being respectful and learning how to assuage them.
They need to do this, and they need to stop that policy, and they
Terrible
need to
policy.
Realize what they're teaching here. And more importantly, maybe more importantly than teaching the girls how to respectfully say no, it is critically important to have the boys experience the failure like you're talking about.
Yes.
Because I think one of the number one problems with male creatures is we can't understand the idea that everyone doesn't like us.
Yes, right.
And if we can understand that early, it's really helpful. Notion of if I can't have you, nobody can have you, that's
right?
Dangerous, wicked stuff.
Right?
So you got to stop that early. Tell the little boys in your life, you can't like everybody, and everybody's not going to like you.
That's exactly right. Trust me, getting used to rejection and failure, it lets you know where your pitch was bad, how you may have said something wrong. This is how you learn game as a young man.
She says no thank you. If you like, you
there
say,
you
can I ask what it was.
Exactly right. Is it my breath? Was it my hair? What was it?
And she says, yes.
To all three.
All of the above.
All right, Chad. Chad and Kevin coming up next. Ray, great job as always. Want to thank the folks out there via the Specs text line. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We'll be talking about it right here on the Rodcast. And ladies, you can say whatever the hell you want to say. This is the Rodcast. Peace.